Well, speaking on behalf of the legs, we're not going to stand by and watch the heed get pished, thank you so very much. To the horror of the customers, the entire bottom half of the figure turned around and started to walk towards the door, causing the top half to fall forwards. It gripped the edge of the bar desperately, managed to say, OK, is a deep-fried pickled egg totally out of the question? And then the figure tore itself in half. The legs staggered a few steps towards the door and fell over. In the shocked silence, a voice from somewhere in the trousers said, Grivens, time for Ofsky. The air blurred for a moment and the door slammed. After a while, one of the customers stepped forward cautiously and prodded the heap of old clothes and sticks that was all that remained of the visitor. The hat rolled off and he jumped back. A glove that was still hanging onto the bar fell to the floor with a thwop that sounded very loud.
Well, look at it this way, said the barman. Whatever it was, at least it's left its pockets.
From outside came the sound of,
Ah!
The broomstick hit the thatched roof of Miss Level's cottage hard and stuck in it. Feagles fell off, still fighting. In a struggling, punching mass, they rolled into the cottage, conducted guerrilla warfare all the way upstairs, and ended up in a head-butting, kicking heap in Tiffany's bedroom, where those who'd been left behind to guard the sleeping girl and Miss Level joined in out of interest. Gradually the fighters became aware of a sound. It was the skirl of the mousepipes, cutting through the battle like a sword. Hands stopped gripping throats, fists stopped in mid-punch, kicks hovered in mid-air. Tears ran down awfully wee Billy's face as he played The Bonnie Flowers, the saddest song in the world. It was about home and mothers and good times gone past, and faces no longer there. The Feagles let go of one another and stared down at their feet as the forlorn notes wound about them, speaking of betrayal and treachery and the breaking of promises.
"Shame on ye!" screamed Awfully Wee Billy, letting the pipe drop out of his mouth. "Shame on ye, traitors, betrayers! Ye shame hath and him! Your hag is fighting for a very soul. Have ye no honour?"
He flung down the mousepipes, which wailed into silence.
"I curse my feats that let me stand here in front of ye. Ye shame the verra sun shining on ye, the shame the kelder that birthed ye. Traitors, scuggins, what ha' I done to be among this parcel of rogues? Any man here want to fight? Then fight me, aye, fight me, and I swear by the harp of bones I'll take him to the deeps of the sea and then kick him to the craters of the moon and see him ride to the pit of hell itself on a saddle made of hedgehogs. I tell you, my rage is the strength of the storm that tears mountains into sand. Who among you will stand agin me?"
Big Jan, who was almost three times the size of Awfully Wee Billy, cowered back as the little Goneagle stood in front of him. Not a Feagle would have raised a hand at that moment for fear of his life. The rage of a Goneagle was a dreadful thing to see. A Goneagle could use words like swords. Daft Woolley shuffled forward.
"I can see you're upset, Goneagle," he mumbled. "'Tis me that's at fault on account of being daft. I should have remembered about us and pubs."
He looked so dejected that Awfully Wee Billy calmed down a little.
"Very well, then," he said,
but rather coldly, because you can't lose that much anger all at once.
"We'll not talk about this again, but we will remember it, right?"
He pointed to the sleeping shape of Tiffany.
"Now pick up that wool and the tobacco and the turpentine, understand? Someone tack the top of the turpentine bottle and pour a wee drop onto the bitter cloth. And no one, let me make myself clear, is to drink any of it."
The Feagles fell over themselves to obey. There was a ripping noise as the bitter cloth was obtained from the bottom of Miss Level's dress.
"Right," said Awfully Wee Billy. "Daft Woolly, you take all the three things and put them on the big wee hag's chest, where she can smell them."
"How can she smell them when she's oot cold like that?" asked Woolly.
"The nose, disna sleep," said the Goneagle flatly.
The three smells of the shepherding hut were laid reverentially just below Tiffany's chin.
"No, we wait," said Awfully Wee Billy. "We wait and hope."
It was hot in the little bedroom with the sleeping witches and a crowd of Feagles. It wasn't long before the smells of sheep's wool, turpentine and tobacco rose and twined and filled the air. Tiffany's nose twitched. The nose is a big thinker. It's good at memory, very good. So good that a smell can take you back in memory so hard that it hurts. The brain can't stop it. The brain...